How's everybody doing today?
Good morning. All right.
I am totally just blown away and excited about being here because I feel like I'm at home. Again, my name is Goldman Vinyawa Maccabee. I am from Fort Wayne, Indiana, but I was raised in Port Huron, Michigan. It's 30 minutes outside of Detroit. And I have a story that is centered around God because my story is a cautionary story. You know, when people see me, they have no idea what they're looking at. But it started back when I was young. I was a very ambitious young man growing up in Port Huron, Michigan. I wanted everything that everybody had on TV. I wanted the things that were flashy. I wanted the materialistic things, and I didn't mind putting in the work to get it. I didn't mind going to school and using my mind to get what I needed. And that's what happened. All the way through high school, I had a 4.0 average. In 1984, I was enrolled to go to a robotics school, Indiana Institute of Technology. They was the only one that carried the curriculum, and my instructors were so impressed at how advanced I was mentally with the curriculum that they had a job waiting for me when I was in the 11th grade. So I didn't even finish my 12th grade year of high school. I went straight to work for a multi-million dollar trucking company. And I was going to school as an engineer in robotics. Remember, this is in the 80s, totally different Fort Wayne. So as I start to work at this company, remember, I'm only 18. I'm working with men and mostly men and women that are in their mid-30s, late 40s and 50s, career human beings that never encountered a person of my hue. We're talking about Cherubusco. We're talking about the outlining areas of Fort Wayne. Remember, this is not Fort Wayne today, okay? Listen to this story. It's going to get you. This is a different Fort Wayne. So I faced a lot of racism as I was coming up, and it did something to me mentally. It did something to me to the point where I had a nervous breakdown, undiagnosed, in my early 20s, as I was working at this multi-million dollar company, as everybody was cheering me on as the one that made it, the one that came from the projects, the one that's not out here selling dope and shooting and all that other stuff. But I was being harassed because of the color of my skin. I was being pulled over because I was driving a nice car. I had a good job. They didn't want me at the job because I had this color of the skin, and I was just so much more better than they was. So nooses was thrown around my neck. Things was put on my cars. This is a story that hasn't been told until now. And so what happened was the nervous breakdown caused me to go into such a depression. I was married at the time that I had liabilities to pay for. I had car payment. I had a house payment. I had a way of life that I had to pay for, but I stopped working because I just couldn't do it no more. I couldn't go into that type of volatility, and my young mind was just burnt out. So I went into a depressed mode, and I got so depressed that the first thought that came to my mind was revenge. Satan has set in. Now I'm starting to be resentful of the system because of what they did to me. And so now I became so resentful that resentment became so angry that I start to purchase weapons and guns and build a stockpile because in my mind that I was at war with the system because the system was picking on me. So now I have to fight back. So I formulated an idea. I said, you know what? I like my lifestyle. I'm living a very, very comfortable lifestyle. How can I continue this lifestyle without having to work for the system? I had to decide to rob banks. Just an idea, a small idea that festered into a full-blown situation where I was going into the gun and knife show purchasing AK-47s. Camouflage gear, black gloves, black boots. The next thing you know, I was in somebody's bushes. In 1992, over in Times Square, I robbed a bank with a full camouflage outfit on, a Tech 9, and a 50-round clip here in Fort Wayne in 1992. And when it happened, it was just phenomenal here because that type of stuff don't happen in Fort Wayne. This was in 1992. Like, it was like a 10,000-pound gorilla had just got out the zoo and everybody is scared. When the news hit that somebody came into a bank with a machine gun with a clip this long, took hostages, emptied the vault, tied them up, and left, the town was on edge. But nobody knew it was me, remember? I'm the guy that made it. I'm the success story. I'm living a double life. People still think that I'm working, but I'm not. I'm a full-fledged bank robber now. So this is my lifestyle. I'm hitting $100,000 licks and spending the money in 2 and 3 months. So I got to get more banks. I thought that I was ordained to do it. I believed in my head that God allowed me to get away with banks because of what they did to me. The devil is so slick. And don't think that just because you get to a certain level of success that you ain't gonna be tested. Now is the time not to panic. No matter what you're going through, now is the time not to panic, because what you're going through is the natural process of life. But with God on your side, you can overcome anything. When you get frustrated with what you're going through, you know why you're frustrated? Because you haven't submitted to His will. Let me get back to my story, because this is about submission. So I get into these bank robberies. I'm robbing these banks. I'm putting in all this work. My psychology is gone. I wasn't raised like this. I need something to happen, God. I'm praying, God, please, the walls is closing in, because I feel law enforcement is getting close to me. And I know if they get close, something gonna happen. 1993, Rockford, Illinois. I'm in the bank. The robbery go wrong. I lock myself out the bank. I'm so gone, I'm so satanic, that I go to the bank that's closed with a couple employees in there, and I yell through the window, if you don't come open this bank door, I'm gonna blow down this door and kill everybody. This is me. You're looking at the person that was talking like that almost 30 years ago. And they opened the door, and I went in and got the money. But when I came out, the bank was surrounded. And what did I do? Satan, you can get away with it. You got the gun. You got a co-defendant with an AK-47. Pull the trigger. You can make it. You can continue to spend. You can continue to spend this money. And that's what I did. I came out shooting. Bow, 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 bow. Full-fledged shootout, just like the movies. Just like the movies. My partner took off. It was too much for him. He left me. I'm shooting, I'm shooting, I'm shooting, I'm shooting, I'm shooting. It's a full-fledged shootout. People running. They shoot me 3 times in my right leg. I was put on a fire truck and taken to a hospital. When I got to the hospital, I woke up on the operating table. You know what the first thing I did? I'm going to tell you why Satan is real. Listen to this. I got to cussing the doctor out. You whoop, 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 whoop. Looking at the nurses. F you, whoop, 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 whoop. I'm bleeding. I'm almost dying. They trying to save my life. I become conscious and I'm cussing everybody out. I'm gone. Satan is real. So after the operation, they saved my life. I heard some steps coming to my door, because it's all over the news. It was a big shootout. It's all over the news. Man comes in Rockford, Illinois and shoots out with the police and wop, 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 wop. And so I hear the steps coming to my door, and I hear the person get to the end of the door, and I look. The person looked at me, was a priest, and when he seen me, he ran, because he felt that energy, that satanic energy. So at the end of the day, I was sentenced to 30 years and 11 months in federal prison for 2 bank robberies. I was 25 years old. I served from 1993 to 2019. I just was released in 2019, so I've been out for a little bit over 3 years. But I want to go back into the system. After I was sentenced to 30 years and 11 months, I thought my life was over. I've never been in jail before. There is no way I can do 30 years and 11 months in prison. That's the entirety. That's the rest of my life. I gave up. So I'm in the joint. I'm macking. I'm doing all the things that they do in the joint. I'm gambling. I'm fighting. I'm doing all the things that the devil wants us to do in places like prison. Until one day I found myself in the hole for violating so much. They said, listen, if you continue to do the things that you're doing, we're going to send you to an upper level penitentiary because you're out of control. So they put me in a hole for 1 year. And I was in a hole for 1 year. I didn't shave. I didn't brush my hair. I didn't do nothing. I just woke up and ate. And my routine would be to walk back and forth in a small little cell. And one day I was walking back and forth, and I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror. And I walked up to that mirror, and I looked into that mirror. And when I looked into that mirror, I didn't recognize myself. That was my wake-up call. I had got so lost in the things that the devil was leading me to do, I didn't even recognize who I was. That's when I broke down, and I gave it all to God. I gave it all to God that day in the hole, and I never looked back. That was 1999, and I never looked back ever since. Ever since then, God has shown me everything that He has put in my way. It's nothing more than a test. That's what you have to understand. Life is not picking on you. Life is not trying to single you out because of a certain, no, God is calling for your submission. You cannot tell me that you can give a soldier a stripe if that soldier has never fought a battle on the field. You have to face your enemies. You have to show and prove every day that you are submitting to the will of your higher power. And that's the only way I was able to get through all the things that I've been through. And so I come home, everybody's the same, and I'm changed. And so now there's no reconciliation because we don't even know each other. They want the old me. I don't even have contact with my family because they don't understand who I am. They don't respect the change. Everybody out there is on something. And so they say, wait a minute. What about, see, this is what they don't understand. You cannot live unless you die at least once. You have to die at least once in order to live. You can't tell me that you're living if you never die. So the old me, the old habits and values and things that I looked upon, the things that I worship outside of God, was the old me. Those things have passed. Amen. This is a new me.
Amen.
I have been resurrected.
Thank you, Lord.
And so now I'm out here, I'm traveling, I'm doing things, and guys is looking at me, they're trying to set me up. Because I did 26 years in the Fed, they think I got the cartel connect. So they coming to me on the low-low. They see me driving something slick in their mind, they think I'm back at it again. Because they don't trust me. But guess what? I always have my armor on. I see them coming a mile away. And that's what y'all have to understand when y'all going through the things that y'all going through. The first thing that I want to tell y'all, the most important thing that I've learned, environment is so important. If you can, take yourself out of those environments that will dictate the worst expression of you. I tell people all the time that's coming out of the situations that I come out. I don't call them prisons. I call them universities. You know what I tell them all the time? You have to learn how to communicate people who are outside of your comfort zone. You have to be able to talk to people that you're not used to. You have to talk to people that you're not, that don't look like you, that don't come from where you come from. You have to learn how to acquire these type of skills in order to make it into this day and age. You can ask my man Lyle right now. As soon as I came to Shambaugh, I was ambitious. I knew because of my confidence and my work ethic that I was going to do good. And then almost 2 years later, I'm training people on the machine. But that's the diligence that it takes. Nothing is going to be given to you without the work that you have to put in. And I have to say this too. This is a new days and era of us that's coming out of these type of situations. Right now, people with felonies, people with these addictions, people that's overcoming all these traumas are the ones that people are looking for hope. Because guess what's the best teacher experience?
Yeah.
They need us out there, especially the youth. They need us out there because they're looking all over for it and nobody can connect with these people because we don't look at the youth with an empathetic eye. That used to be me. I used to be them young dudes in jail sagging. But guess what? I can't judge. I got to connect because I see past the exterior. I see the spirit and I feel the spirit in here. Like Lyle said earlier, we have to stay connected. The politics in this country is so bad. The racial tension, the politics is so bad that if you don't have a root in your belief system, if you don't wear your armor every day, you suspect for anything to happen to you. You can't even drive through traffic right now without somebody almost getting into it with you for nothing. It's just the tension. It's just the pandemic. All the things that's going on have been prophesied. So the question you must ask yourself is, are you ready? And what are you doing? What are you doing? Use your resources. It is a blessing and an honor for me to be in this house of God. Based off where I come from.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm coming from the jungle. 4 days before they told me to go home, you know what they made me do? They woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what they said? Come here, lock up. I locked up. I went over there, took me to a different department. I seen a whole bunch of people with suits on, walking around, talking. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? They gave me a big old box of mop heads, and they gave me a mop stick, and they took me into this unit that was twice the size of this church. A man had been stabbed and killed 40 times. They said, clean it up. And I had to clean all that blood up. And I'm a man of God. And it tore my spirit up. I felt so uneasy with it because everybody else was locked down looking out, and I was sitting there for hours and hours just cleaning up all this. It was a slaughter. It was so satanic. And I had to wash myself, and it took me days to come up out of that daze. But my point is, I got that armor. Whoa. And the last thing that y'all have to understand is this. God, I don't care what you've been through, will not put nothing on you that you can't handle. You got to believe that. I don't care what station you are in life right now, that is not going to be the final say-so. You are going through a transitional period in your life. And if you can submit to your higher power, if you can use the resources that are available to you, you can take your life to the next step, to the next level. Everything that you want is right in front of you. All you got to do is look in the mirror and submit. And he will lead you to where you need to be. I'm telling you, I was out there bad. If he can save me, there is nobody outside of being saved. Nobody. And again, please understand, don't think your problems is personal. Don't think your addictions is personal. Don't think the things that you're going through is personal. This is a part of the life process. Your life is pulling on you, telling you, wake up. Because remember, you ain't going to live forever. Amen. Count your blessings. Amen. Count your blessings. When y'all talk about what you appreciate today, that should be done every day. That's beautiful. Because it reminds you that, guess what? Not only am I going through something and I'm appreciative of what I'm going through, but somebody else might be going through something so much more worse than me. So you got to start thinking like that. You got to start thinking it's just not about you. Because you know why? She said it. She got kids. Who gonna be there for the kids? If you're not together, who gonna be there for your kids? So sometimes you got to get out of the self-talk and think, okay, it's bigger than me. I didn't realize when I went to prison the damage that it cost my family. I was so oblivious to the fact that I had so many people depending on me that when I went to prison, guess what? Their lives spiraled out of control. They got addicted on stuff because they were sad of what happened to me. And so now they've been on a road of addiction for the last 30 years. My brothers and sisters, all of them addicted on crack, heroin and everything. Since I've been gone, they've been addicted to all the substances that are out here. And I can't even talk to them because they're that far gone. And so when you look at what happened to me, you would have thought that because I went to prison, I was going to be the one that was going to come out messed up. But God, he shows favor for everybody. Thank you, Lord. And so when I came home, I came addicted from, I wasn't on nothing. I wasn't taking no drugs. I wasn't smoking no drugs. I was just healthy at 54. And people were like, well, oh yeah, well, God showed me how to take care of myself. And that didn't sit well with family. And I want y'all to know that it's okay. Whoever is influencing y'all on a negative level, cut them off. I don't care if it's your mama. I don't care if it's your kids. Give them some space and pray from a distance, but get away from them, because misery loves company. Amen. And when you in that satanic mindset, you ain't in the mindset of a sister or brother. You in the mindset of Satan. Make no mistake about it. And he's always lurking. He's lurking right now. He all in our thoughts. So always wear your armor. Understand that whatever you're going through, it's nothing more than a test. And remember this before I go. You cannot testify until you've been tested. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, all right. All right. That's it. All right, give him another hand. I got a question for you. Right?
Yes, sir.
Mind.
No doubt.
So you came home, now you.
Uh-huh.
Well, what's your living situation like now? What's your home life like now?
My home life is beautiful. I have a fiance. I have a 14-month-old little daughter named Emberly. I mean, you know, everything that is happening to me is phenomenal because it's happening so fast. You know, you have to understand something. I came home during the pandemic. When I came home, pretty much everything was quarantined. You couldn't go nowhere. You know, jobs weren't really hiring. But ever since the quarantine started easing up, I just been getting like success, 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 success. So right now my living conditions is just wonderful, man, because now I'm sharing life with my spouse and we're raising this beautiful young child. And now I'm at a point in time, I'm a man now. So I'm ready to raise a child. Before I wasn't, I was just a male. You know, it's a big difference. So it's a beautiful thing to raise your child as a man.
All right, thank you. I go to the meetings and his name comes up and the phrase that they have for this man, and you would think that a person who spent that kind of time in prison would be lost with hatred, anger, fear, and all those emotions are prevalent. And some of us still operate with some of those emotions. I've done 20 years in prison altogether. 20 years of my life. I've been in cages and dungeons and you know, those things like that. But God, you know, just like that brother said, God can change everything. God cared enough about me in that room to fix my blood pressure so I could go to work. Everything God cared about me, he cares about you. He cares about you. I went from being homeless and running around in abandoned cars and running from the police in and out of jail to living in the suburbs, to living comfortable, where my name is no longer. My name was so bad. My name was so bad. One time I got arrested, the police car pulled over the police car that I was in. Over and over and shine a light and said, your name rings so much, I just had to see who you are. But those same police, and I'm a mentor of the court. Thanks to my brother Marvin over here. We go in the court and we try to help people. You know, we go into prisons. I go to prisons with families, and God's got you. But you can't. The difference in your lot in life and your destiny is your lot in life is where you choose to settle.
Mm-hmm.
Your destiny is where God can take you if you just let it.
That's right.
Quit selling for that'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Quit selling for that'll do spirit. And I told this story last week. I'm going to say it again and we're going to close. I have a nephew I love very much. Got himself in trouble back when his mom passed. He thought he needed to get money to help bury her. He got a bag of cocaine and he got drunk and he was sitting at a gas station pump and fell asleep. Police come and they catch him with the dope and all this stuff. And they get ready to put him in prison. I go down to town. I speak to the judge for him and talk about what had happened and stuff. And she said, I'm not supposed to talk to you about this, Lyle. She said, but we've had success. I know that we have had some success in dealing through the program that you guys are in, and they gave him a break, put him on house arrest, got him a job out where I was working, started at $20 an hour, and he worked, and then he got himself in trouble, got fired one night, and he called me, and he said, it's a mistake, I wasn't supposed to get fired, so I got up and went out there and talked to him, they called him back to work, he had favor of God, and the next week, he got off house arrest, and I seen him at the gas station.
So what happened?
I said, hey, how you doing? Man, I quit. He said, I quit Shamball. I said, huh? I said, man, why would you quit? Oh, man, I'm going to try something else. I said, what you going to do? Try what you used to do? Oh, no. 5 days later, they called me. Said, they got him.
Wow.
They got him. They got him with cocaine in his pocket. And he was drunk, and he was trespassing on a property. He had told how to come back home.
Damn.
And he was on paper. He was on probation then. So go tell him when I'm gonna see him again. You got a choice. You can take the slow road, like a turtle, slow and steady, with the race.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can out there in that fast lane and think you're getting ahead, you think you're slick, you think you are slicker than the next guy. What I'm telling you, it's about an impaired belief system. You do it the way God's done it, and you see the way that young man's life has changed. Everything in his life he talked about says that he should have been a career criminal, that he should have never stood for nothing and never should be nowhere and have nothing. Just like me. But God. And he can change us.
Amen.
He can change anybody.
I got one question. Did you start using drugs or you just became a career criminal?
The drug use was, I was always a heavy marijuana smoker and I used a lot of alcohol. So it did get worse over time. So I was really, I was an addict.
The robberies,
I was sober. That's how angry I was. That was the only time I was sober.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that was the only time I was sober. Yeah. Yep, that was the only time.
But when you got in prison, you
started. Oh, yeah, then and after a while, when I got in prison, I cleaned myself up. That experience in the hole changed everything. I just threw everything bad that I had in my life away, and I just never looked back after that. Amen. Yeah.
All right. Well, if anybody want to change their life tonight, if anybody decides, you know what, I want to do something different, I don't know that I can, but I just believe. Mentors, raise your hand. All the mentors, raise your hand. Just grab one of the mentors, pull aside, and say, look, take, walk me through the prayer of repentance. I want to change my life. You know, and it gets better.
Yes, amen.
Every day, it gets us a little better.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to ask my brother, Carl, to pray for us tonight. Close us out.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight. Every word spoken here tonight. All the encouragement. And I encourage each and every one to pray for everyone that's here, including myself.
Yeah.
And wish you all a very good week and listen to the Holy Spirit for guidance. Thank you.
Amen.